Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show. Sponsored by ESB. Working towards a brighter energy future. ESB.ie.
So it's time for the Green Scene with Professor Brian O'Gallagher, Director of MARAI, the SFI Research Centre for Energy, Climate and the Marine. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, we're going to talk about two things. One is the World Economic Forum System Value Analysis. I can't even begin to think what that might mean.
Yes, what they've done in the World Economic Forum is they're trying to take a new approach to making assessments on significant changes. And here it's applied to the energy system. So it's to move beyond kind of just talking about emissions reductions and costs and relating things to the factors like jobs, the health benefits, and other things like competitiveness and resilience. So it's trying to, I suppose, look at the challenges through a new lens and to shift
Yep. Brian, just to try and parse it for a minute, there's something I could see straight away. Suppose you're living in Beijing and all the cars there, and there are millions of them, are diesel or petrol, and everyone is choking from the fumes. So to turn them into electric cars or electric bicycles or scooters or whatever it is, and straight away there's a health benefit, which can be quantified and costed.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. So that's and similarly, there are jobs benefits when you look at the new industry opportunities, and of course also there are job losses. So you need to weigh up the differences. So in terms of jobs, health implications, these are things that can be quantified, but we don't always quantify them, and that's what this new analysis essentially brings. So that they've applied it in a number of countries, in Brazil, as you mentioned, in the States, in India, in China, but also in Ireland. And so ESB commissioned Accenture here to apply this framework to Ireland's 2030 climate targets. So looking at the changes that might come associated with our increased ambition for emissions reduction and to quantify some of the impacts in terms of health and jobs, etc.
Now, if these are real figures, you know, if they say, and they do, that it quantified 240 million in health benefits by 2030 associated with the changes which we'll talk about, it means, you know, in a zero-sum situation, you could actually spend that 240 million helping to reach those targets and you'd be more or less even Stephen, which would be great.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it would be great, but you'd also have the actual physical health benefits as well. So in monetary terms, as you say, you'd be even Stevens. Exactly.
Now, what did they find for us in terms of what we need to do? I mean, we have big generators of carbon, like those data centres, for example. If they could be all solar powered, that would reduce a lot of carbon. We are using quite a lot of alternatives, wind and more a bit of solar. So when they looked at this analysis, Accenture, what did they find for us?
Yeah, and to that point, they were building on what's already being planned. So we do have plans for increase in wind energy. We have plans for electric vehicles. We have plans for heat pumps in homes. So this was looking at pushing the boundaries beyond that. And what additional things might we look at to really reduce emissions? So they looked at things like on the existing gas-fired plants, if we attach carbon capture and storage onto those. As you mentioned with the data centres, if we ensure that the electricity provided to the data centres is zero carbon on a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week basis, reducing freight emissions with renewable fuels, so displacing diesel that we use in our trucks with things like renewable diesel and biomethane, energy efficiency in the public sector, and also electric heating and renewable heating in industry. So these were the kind of things that they found additional to things that are already planned that will help us to increase our ambition and get us to our the reductions in the climate bill effectively. And as you mentioned, then the analysis quantified 240 million in terms of health benefits. But also other value outcomes they found, like with the data centers, they predict an outcome from that would be an increase in FDI, foreign direct investment. We'd have benefits in terms of system flexibility and also in terms of system efficiency. So it's really looking at the changes with this new lens, if you like. And that's the important contribution that it makes. It adds to the existing and other. And it's not that the cost and the emissions quantification is unimportant. It's just it highlights that there are other things as well that we should consider.
Yeah, it's kind of a more holistic look at things.
Exactly.
Now, we want to talk about disappearing rivers. And these rivers are not disappearing because, some crowd have decided to divert an important river into their own country rather than let it flow where it might have flown. This is a natural phenomenon, but of course sparked by human activity.
Exactly. And the first of these was identified in spring 2016. So it's a relatively recent phenomenon. And there's interesting language being used as well, because they call it river piracy or stream capture. And what happens is that as the glaciers around the world shrink due to global warming, what some communities are seeing is a disappearance of rivers that they've become accustomed to over many years. So what's happening is, one example is in Canada. This is where the first of these was identified. So the largest glacier there melted so quickly in 2016 that it diverted a large river and thus changed and reduced the water level of a lake that it fed. So this river, the Slims River, it disappeared over a four-day period as an intense glacier melt, and it suddenly diverted its flow into another water course. Now, the Slims River spanned up to 150 metres at its widest points. So this is not a small little stream by any means. And for hundreds of years, it carried the meltwater northwards from the glacier to the into what's called the Kluane River and then into the Yukon River towards the Bering Sea. But in spring 2016, after this intense melting of the glacier, The drainage gradient was tipped in favour of a second river. So it redirected the river northwards instead of southwards. So it was a very significant change. And that was the first instance of it. But more have been spotted since, and we can expect to see more of this. But it's one of the more unusual phenomena, if you like, associated with global warming.
Well, it's extraordinary that it should happen so quickly, just in the space of 4 days, and the river starts flowing somewhere else, and all the economic activity that might flow, if you'll pardon the pun, from that river is then lost. Fascinating stuff. Professor Brian O'Gallagher, Director of MARAI, the SFI Research Centre for Energy, Climate and the Marine, thank you very much for joining us.